Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions on WGN Radio.
What's going on, Kevin? How are you doing?
Hey, Michael. So I'm really excited for this next segment here.
Yeah.
This is something that really interests me. And last time we were on, we kind of got in, I don't remember what the occasion was, but it was an anniversary of the Roswell, I think it was, correct?
Yes, it was actually National UFO Day.
Yeah, that's what it was. So we were talking to someone about UFOs, and I don't know, just this time of night, they say the 3 a.m. hour is the witching hour and yada yada. The paranormal topic really, really interests me.
Oh, yeah, big time. And that's so funny you mentioned the 3 o'clock as the paranormal hour, because remember in the movie Amityville Horror? And
yeah.
He always woke up at 3. What is it about this time?
And they say that's based on true events. But
I'm feeling spooky right now.
Well, luckily, we have Dr. Chuck Kennedy on. Dr. Chuck Kennedy, why don't you introduce yourself, Dr. Kennedy?
Well, I'm Dr. Chuck Kennedy. I started as a ghost hunter in 1972, and then that was my hobby, so to speak, and my professional life was in healthcare. I ran memory care units and Alzheimer units, and my PhD is in neuroscience. So all these years I'm doing ghost hunting, and I'm always looking at, you know, we need to have science explain the afterlife. And I'm looking at this, and like everyone else, I'm always waiting for somebody else to take the ball, and finally they never did. And I started digging into the paranormal, I always see ghost hunting groups, and they're out there, and they're going, I'm in it for the research. And I'm thinking, well, what research are you doing? And the reality is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going. I was just laughing.
And so what we're really doing is we're running around in the dark and scared the hell out of ourselves. And yeah, that's fun, but that's a hobby.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
right.
To do it as research, what I started the organization Project Psi, and it's to do legitimate research into the paranormal, the ghost field of the paranormal, and the whole idea is not just to sit there and when I talk to groups and I say, well, you know, what kind of actual research do you do? I'm not trying to slam them. I'm trying to inspire them and tell them that we don't have to tackle the big picture. What is the meaning of life? What is afterlife? We start with something small. When I first started doing actual research, I was doing what I called forensic EVPs. EVPs are electronic voice phenomena. You see it on all the ghost shows. They stand there with their recorder and they go, is there anyone here that wants to talk to me? Well, ghosts are just people that no longer have a body. If you go out and do your homework first and you know what ghost you want to talk to and you call them by name, it changes the whole game. And I've been doing ghost tours for about 10 years, and I'll have crowds from 50 to 150 people in front of me. And I stand there and I go, is there anyone who wants to talk to me? And they'll stare at me. And I'll call one by name. You, what's your name? And the guy goes, Jim. Jim, do you want to talk to me? And whoever it is always a smart aleck. They'll go, no. And the crowd laughs. And I go, but the point is you answered.
Right.
When I asked, does anyone want to talk to me? Nobody said boo. But when I called you by name, ghosts are just people who no longer have a body. When you're standing in a dark basement, you're standing in a dismal cemetery, and you go, does anyone want to talk to me? There'd be 30 ghosts standing there going, who the hell's he talking to? If you do your homework and you want to know who you want to talk to and you call them by name, you have a phenomenally better chance of getting a result. And it actually works quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if I was talking to you guys and I said, hey, guys, you know, the two of you are going to look at each other. If I go, Kevin, you know, and I ask you a question, you're going to answer me.
Right. Yeah.
That's human nature.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Chuck, this is Michael, the other host here on Sound Sessions. I was wondering, what was your first experience with ghosts? Because that can really change up a person for either the better or the worse. And what was your first time when you're like, this is something that I should dedicate my life to because I was just scared S-less?
Yeah, and it's everybody has that one experience that kind of woke them up. When I was a young kid, my brother and I used to hang out with a guy across the alley. We grew up on the southwest side of Chicago, and this two-story house across the alley was huge. First floor was empty. The family lived upstairs. Mom and Dad worked all day, usually worked 12 hours, and the kids were home, and we hung out with the kids. And the basement was kind of like an abandoned basement. You could just walk in from the backyard down into the basement, and it was all set up as an apartment. And we'd be down there horsing around, and doors would slam on us. And then they would open by themselves, and there was no grass. And there were planks in the backyard as a walkway from the garage to the building. And we'd hear them rattling like when we walk on them. And we'd hear these things rattling, and we knew there was something going on. When this stuff would go on, we'd hide.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like my first exposure that there's something there that I don't understand. And then in 72, probably the godfather of Chicago ghosts is Richard Crow. And I don't think there's any ghost hunter in the Chicago area who can seriously say they didn't get their start in one way or another due to Richard Crow. And he had done a story in the newspaper in October of 72, and it was about someplace up in southern Wisconsin. And so I was working at the phone company at the time, and so a bunch of us saw the article in the newspaper, and that night we went up to this place and were traipsing around. And then after that, it was just going to find cemeteries that we heard have strange events, and then the traditional Resurrection Mary.
Yeah.
Ironically, Richard Crow died a few years ago, but when he would do his tours down Archer Avenue, he'd pull into this coffee house, and the bus would pull in the parking lot, and he'd go running in, and he'd been, you know, drinking coffee or whatever on the bus, and he'd have to get there, and he'd always run in and go right up the stairs and holler, gotta hit the head. And they knew right where he was going. So I was at an event there one night, one Saturday afternoon, and everyone had gone downstairs, and I'm sitting outside the head and thinking, well, maybe Richard's around here. And I did an EVP session, and I got Richard to answer me.
Oh, no way.
And I thought that was just the coolest thing.
Now, when he answered, Dr. Chuck, was it like his voice recognizable, or was it like a whisper?
Well, it's soft, and yeah. I'll get into the process in a second. But part of the thing you got to remember is that when we speak, it takes 22 muscles, and our air chambers and our chest, our sinuses, everything to create our voice. Mm-hmm. If you get up in the morning and you go downstairs and you say good morning to your family, and overnight you picked up a head cold, they're going to instantly go, oh, what's wrong with you? You sound different. So what creates the sound of our voice is the air flowing through all these chambers. So for a spirit, it's really electronic energy. It isn't really the voice. But that being said, I've done EVPs for people. One of them was I got at Mount Carmel Cemetery, and I got an EVP of Sam Giancana, the one that ran the mob. And so a couple of days later, I went and saw his grandson, Pete Giancana. Pete's a good friend of mine, great ghost hunter, great guy, and here we are, we're in this restaurant, and I put the recorder down, and I go, hey, Pete, listen to this, let it play. And here, Sam Giancana is speaking. And Pete he looks at me in shock, and here's this big guy. Pete can hold his own, and here's this big guy crying. He goes, I haven't heard that voice in 20 years.
Wow.
So even though it was just an electronic voice, Pete recognized it.
Wow.
And so a lot of the voices do, and I've had to play voices for family members, excuse me, and they actually recognize the voice. I don't know, you know, how much of it is you know, wishful thinking, but it gets a reaction from people, even though it's not a true,
yeah,
true voice.
Right.
Because there's no airflow.
You know, Dr. Chuck, I've been having some issues of my own in my apartment. So every night I've been going through a little wake-up process around like 2 or 3 in the morning. I hear this like really weird sound. Now, am I just hearing sounds, or it's like it sounds like a garbage disposal, but like more girthy?
Hmm.
And am I just hearing sound? Like, is the typical person just hearing sounds, or is there a reason for like a normal Joe like me to go out and reach out to an EVP professional?
Well, the thing is, what you got to kind of separate, and especially since you're basically sleeping, is it an auditory hallucination from a dream,
mm-hmm.
or is it an actual sound in the room? And what you need to do is get a recorder and a cheap digital recorder, $25, and they run about 30 hours, and just record your sleeping event.
Okay.
And then in the morning, if you didn't wake up because you didn't hear it, just erase that episode that night because it didn't help you. If you wake up and you hear something, let the recorder keep going, and then in the morning, check that recorder, run it through your computer, and see if there's actually anything on at that timestamp where you woke up.
Oh, that is great advice. I have been eating, have this really weird habit of eating sandwiches at 12 midnight, though, so that might have something to do with it as well.
Oh, I always eat eggs at midnight.
Oh, there you go.
We're running the same.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Chuck Kennedy. I guess we can call you a paranormal expert. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with a little bit more with Dr. Chuck Kennedy. You are listening to Sound Sessions on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Oh, man, it feels so good. You know, throwing back to an earlier segment, we were talking about our first 45s, our first vinyl records, and feel free to, you know, text in with yours because we were going to be talking about that all night.
312-981-7200.
Mm-hmm. And that's the text line and the call line, so make sure you keep that in mind. We had a great one from Celeste Heidemann, who is...
She's
this great lady, you know, really up on her music these days. She said that her first 45 was Jan and Dean. FYI, we did a lot of dancing in those days. And of course you did with such great music as,
sure.
as Jan and Dean. But they're not alive anymore. And going back to what we were talking
nice
about before.
So yeah, we're talking to Dr. Chuck Kennedy, our resident now, paranormal expert. And Dr. Kennedy, you were kind of talking earlier about how people would do the EVP hunts and ghost hunts in general as kind of a cheap thrill. Well, that's kind of what got me into it. There was a cemetery in my hometown, and I don't recommend this because it is technically trespassing. But yeah, exactly what it was. It was a cheap thrill. We'd go out, you know, and there was graves from like the 1800s, and we'd be hollering out questions. And you look like a total nut probably to some people, but we got results. I'm not kidding you. We definitely got recordings.
Did you bring like a Ouija board out there when you were?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
We weren't doing seances or anything, but we would, just like Dr. Kennedy said, we would bring out the recorder. And, you know, the first couple times we did it, nothing really happened. And then we happened to one day get something on recording. And what we got was totally freaky. I don't want to say it because it's super freaky, honestly. Mm-hmm. But
you got to say it now. What was it?
Well, maybe Dr. Kennedy can weigh in on this, too, because it really freaked us out. But the way we tried to interpret it, well, let me just explain what happened. So we're walking around, we're doing our questions and yada, yada. And my friend shouts out, "How can we find you?" At which point on the recorder, you hear a staticky buildup.
And they say on WGNplus.com every single day.
No. But you hear a staticky buildup, and then it kind of like distorts and clips out a little bit, and then you hear a voice whisper, "Die."
What?
I swear to God.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the way we tried to rationalize that was, okay, this is a spirit, and it's not trying to be threatening. It's saying, if you want to see me, you have to be deceased. Now, maybe I'm overthinking. I don't know. But, yeah, point being.
I have to agree with you on that. I think that was the message. You know, when you do EVPs, I created this process called forensic EVPs.
Yeah.
And basically it was where I would sit there and try to tell a story or answer a mystery using EVPs. Now, you got to remember, these guys don't have the energy to sit there and, when I got EVPs of Abe Lincoln, he didn't give me the Gettysburg Address. But when I asked him, did you know that you were going to get shot that night, he answers yes. Huh. And they can answer short questions. They can answer big questions with short answers that are three, maybe usually max of about five words. So they don't have the energy to sit there and tell you everything that happened.
Right.
But everybody has a story to tell. We all have our story to tell. The dead especially have a story to tell, and they want to tell it. And that's why, for me, the coolest part of ghost hunting is the EVPs, because you can get all these fancy gadgets that light up, and they have all these bells and whistles and everything, but the coolest feeling is to communicate with a spirit. And that's why at Project Sci, we focus on communication. We consider it, we're creating the Dewey Decimal System of afterlife communication. Huh. And I use the forensic EVPs to solve a lot of the mysteries. We did the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
I spent two and a half years on that one. But it started in Chicago because Jacob Rubenstein, I was living in Naperville at the time. Jacob Rubenstein buried on Montrose Avenue, right off Montrose and Harlem. And so I went up there, and I just thought, well, I'll see what he's got to say. I'm a Kennedy. I'm a distant relative of JFK. So this was personal to me. And I went and I said, did Lee Harvey Oswald shoot JFK? And the EVP
wow.
I got was Patsy.
Huh.
And
interesting.
So that led me to this 2.5 years research. The sidebars to the whole JFK assassination is unbelievable. But the end result was, I was doing an internet radio show at the time, so I tell the story about, yeah, I went on, I got the CVP to Patsy, and I said, I really need to get down to Dallas and see if I can get Lee Harvey Oswald's CVP. So two nights later, I get a call about 2:30 in the morning, and the guy says, next Monday, a car will pick you up at 5 o'clock in the morning, take you to the airport, and fly you to Dallas.
What?
That ticket, and I'm sitting there, I tell my buddies, and they're going, oh, you can't go. I go, I cannot not go.
Wow.
I got to do this. You know, this guy didn't buy me a ticket to Dallas to kill me. I got to go see what's going on. So I get down to Dallas. The car shows up. I get to Dallas, get off the plane, and here's a guy holding a sign like in the movies. And it says Chuck Kennedy. I get in the car. He doesn't say two words to me. Takes me out to Arlington. We go to the cemetery. We go to Lee Harvey Oswald's grave. I get some EVPs. I go back to the car, run it through my laptop quick to see if I got anything. And I got some answers. So I went back, asked some more questions, got in the car. He took me back to Love Field, and boom, I'm back in Chicago. First thing I did when I got off the plane, because I'm right up there on the north side, I go over to Montrose and Harlem, and I go up to Lee Harvey, or to Jack Ruby's grave, and I go, Jack Ruby, I just talked to Lee Harvey Oswald. And you know what the EVP said?
What's that?
I know.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Spooky.
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Chuck, is there any place in America or in the world that you wouldn't go to? Where is too haunted? Where is the most haunted place that we'd be able to find?
To me, there's no such thing as too haunted. The reality is, as I've said a million times, ghosts are just people without bodies. Mm-hmm. Most people are not evil.
Right.
So you're talking to people. You're basically talking to people who, for the most part, can't really physically hurt you. They can scream and holler. I got EVPs from John Wayne Gacy, and yeah, he was nasty, but there wasn't a damn thing he could do about it. So, but most people, and they just want to tell their story, even though they're
yeah.
dead, and so they're not going to hurt you. TV makes it out a lot bigger than it is. TV
sure.
makes everything out to be demonic.
Right.
I do a lot of work with people who are spirit possession.
Yeah.
Because it changes their life when a spirit attaches to them. Maybe you get this attachment because you play the piano, and this guy loves piano music. So he hangs around with you for a while because you're playing piano music, and then he kind of gets bored because he used to used to do a lot of drinking and drugs. So he's this little horse in your head that keeps telling you, you need to drink more. Jack Daniels would be really good. And maybe you're not really a drinker, but now suddenly you're drinking, you're depressed because you got this horse in your head. And now he's telling you, oh, cocaine is a real good trip. And now you're depressed because you're, why do I want to suddenly take cocaine? That's insane. But this horse keeps pushing you to it.
Yikes.
So, and it used to be that you know, if you hear a horse, it's instantly schizophrenia and you're on heavy antipsychotics. But there's a fair amount of psychiatrists and psychologists who have recognized that, and some feel there's no such thing as schizophrenia. When you're hearing voices, it's spirit possession. And the spirit, and sadly, a lot of times the spirit, because they can't live anymore, they don't think you should either, and they take a lot of people down a suicidal path.
Huh. Dr. Kennedy, do you have time to stick around for a little bit longer after the news here? Welcome back to WGN. You are listening to Sound Sessions. I am Kevin.
And what's going on? This is Michael.
Hey, so we are talking with Dr. Chuck Kennedy, who's been a ghost hunter since 1972, before it was the cool thing to do on TV. So, Dr. Chuck, we have a text come in, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but he's asking, why are the words in EVPs, why is it, you know, you kind of explained that they don't have the energy or the ability to speak into our ears always, but why is it an electronic recorder able to pick that up?
We don't know exactly why. A lot of it is that when you look at the frequency range of human voice and what we can hear, which goes down to about 70 hertz on up to about 7,000 hertz. And a lot of times the EVPs will fall under that, and because they fall under that frequency that we can hear well, and the other thing is being a low level, you know, we're talking, is there anyone here who wants to talk to me? And they're answering, yeah, I'm over here. So it comes in as a whisper. There's usually background noise. There's general static in the air, and the recorder picks up all this, and what ends up happening is the EVP is down in the mud.
Sure.
And sometimes, a lot of times, you can actually literally hear the voice in your ear. You don't need the recorder to pick it up. When I got JFK's EVP out in Dealey Plaza down in Dallas, I could actually hear it, but the recorder picked it up. But the thing is, when you run it through the computer then and you equalize it, you use some filtering and filter out the background noise. But what happens a lot of times, a lot of ghost hunters, they just sit there and they'll push all the background noise way in the back, 40, 50 decibels down. And when they take these frequencies and they wipe them out, they're also wiping out half of the voice frequency.
Interesting.
So what you do is, it's kind of like the Jumbotron. When you're on the other side of the field and you look at the Jumbotron, you can sit there and there's some lights that are burned out, but across the field, your brain fills in those gaps and you see a clear picture. If you're sitting right under the Jumbotron and you're close and you can see each individual bulb, you get to see all these burned out bulbs and it looks like a mess. So what happens is, when I do an EVP, I take that background noise and I don't wipe it out completely. I just push it further in the background. And that way, it's a signal that fills in those gaps. And then when I take the EVP, I pull that out and it's a little bit better. But now it's loud enough that I can grab it, amplify just the EVP, and I can take an EVP that's a whisper. Mm-hmm. And now it sounds like they're sitting next to us.
Oh, that is so creepy.
It's really something you have to practice to get right.
You know, we have a great another text here from the 815 area code that mentions, we were talking a little bit about it before when we were leading into your segment. Somebody wanted to know from 815, why is 3 a.m. the bewitching hour? I mean, what's the significance of time during the day that would make it a little bit more haunted than most of the other hours in the day?
And that goes back to the early 1800s, when it was thought that the veil between the living and the dead was thinner at 3 a.m.
Why now? Why is that? The veil is thinner.
That was a theory from a long time ago, and I don't necessarily agree with that. Part of the thing, it's like, why do we always ghost hunt at night? Some of the best, as I said, I do ghost tours all over the place. When I was doing ghost tours down in Branson, I'd go out to the cemetery in the middle of the afternoon and get great EVPs. The spirits are here all the time. And the only thing about if you're taking photography or video, you get a better contrast at night in the dark because they show up better in a bright sunlight. They're kind of thin and wispy, and they're hard to see. So you can see them better at night. And then the other factor is, you know, things at night, things in the dark are spookier. And as we talked about, a lot of people do this for the spook factor.
That's so interesting. You know, this opens just literally a whole can of worms. You know, we're going to be taking listener calls and listener texts all night, but our own Sean Davis has a story that he kind of wanted to get to you about. Sean, what's your connection with the ghostly world?
Yeah, Chuck, when I was a teenager, we actually moved into a home that was vacant for about 15 years. And at nighttime, especially if you were there by yourself, you would hear these creaks and little things going on. So what's the deal with that, with vacant homes and whether or not the family that lived there before actually left something there?
You kind of have to wonder why it was vacant for 15 years. And why did nobody want to live there? Was there an untimely death there? And everybody that knew the house wanted nothing to do with it. But 15 years later, you didn't know the history, and you come along and move in. The other thing is, you got to remember, the word paranormal means outside the norm. And in an older house, you got the house settling, you got things that shift, and you'll get creaks and things like that that are normal. You'll get a lot of different things. I do... right now, I'm living in St. Charles, and I do a ghost tour in St. Charles, Ghost of the Fox. I was amazed to find out how many houses in the downtown St. Charles area were built in the 1830s and 1840s. And these are beautiful houses, but they've been around for well over 150 years. And the history that's involved, that you find out, there was a riot in 1849 there when a med school was... didn't have corpses to study on, so they went and raided cemeteries. And just, you know, when you cannot be a ghost hunter and not be into history. You have, because you find personal history, things that happen to individuals and people. And this one place, I've got a great EVP of babies crying. And when I did the history, the family there had 9 kids, and 3 of the kids died as infants. And I just walked through the place, and my recorder's running, and I got these babies crying in the background.
Wow.
So the history and things that happen to a building, you don't always have access to check the history. And so when you have a house that sat vacant, you know, it really poses a question, why was it empty for 15 years? And you don't always have somebody you can ask.
Right.
But there's history to everything, history to all kinds of these buildings. My lab is in St. Charles, where I do EEGs on mediums. I do a lot of not just spirit attachment therapy, but I do a lot of past life regression. A lot of people want to know who they were in a previous life. And so I'll hypnotize them, run the EEG so we can see what's going on in their brain while I've got them hypnotized, and find out who they were, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. The coolest thing doing past life regression is I'll take somebody back to a year and I go, do you want to check out this life? And they go, no, I was a dog at that time. That blew my mind.
That would be a little
troublesome. That's insane.
Yeah. You know, Sean, if you have any trouble, though, I got some guys that you could probably get in contact with anytime, I'm sure.
But if you can, find out some history on that house. And a lot of times, there's always somebody on the block that's lived there forever.
Well, I'm no longer there. I'm no longer there, but yeah, it was just really creepy. Yeah,
but even though you're not no longer there, take a ride home one day and talk to some of the neighbors and ask, you know, find who the old-timer is on the block that's been there the longest. And you sit down and you buy them a can of pop, and they'll talk your ear off and tell you all the history of every house on the block.
Dr. Chuck, we're going to wrap this up here in a short bit. So it sounds like you have a plethora of EVPs, and I don't know about photo evidence or anything, but is there any, like, do you have a website or where anyone can come and check out all your stuff? I know you've published, it sounds like, 19 books?
Yeah, a lot of them are on healthcare, and some are on ghost hunting. I've got a manual for ghost hunting called the Paranormal Tradecraft, The Art of the Hunt. I've got another book called the... and all of these are on Amazon. How to fight a demon and not lose your soul.
Oh, see, that's a book that I need to get. Yeah, I do not want to fight demons and lose my soul. Not again.
Yeah, not again. I've been there too. The reality of dealing with demons, very seldom do you run into a true demon. But the reality is if you run into something and you just don't know what to do, just call on the help of St. Michael the Archangel, and he'll come. He can't just jump in and help you out. You have to invite him in to help you out. But St. Michael, you got to remember, St. Michael's the only one that's ever kicked Lucifer's ass.
That's right. That's a good point.
Yeah, you call on St. Michael, and he'll be there, and he'll guide you through it.
Well, we can't thank you enough.
And did you have a website or anything, Dr. Chuck?
Yeah, Project Psi.
That's PSI?
PSI. Correct, excuse me. ProjectPsi.com, and then a lot of my ghost stuff is on Ghosts of the Fox.
Ghosts of the Fox.
Yeah, so those are my two websites, and you can reach me there. My phone number and email address are there on both of those sites. And the Project Psi, obviously, is the more scientific side.
Sure.
And then Ghosts of the Fox are just a whole mess of the stuff for the whole Fox Valley area.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Chuck, we really appreciate your time. Really, really interesting stuff. I feel like we could talk to you for 2 hours about all this, but we don't have that kind of time. Well, thank you for joining us today. And we will definitely check out the websites. But we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Sound Sessions on WGN.